Good to see you this evening. If you have your Bibles, turn in 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And we want to look a little bit at the life of Paul. And in particular, after 30 years of labor in the gospel, coming near the end of his time, passing on the mantle to Timothy, Timothy finds himself in a difficult place. And we want to see the wisdom and the encouragement and the gratitude that Paul demonstrates to young Timothy in the midst of a hard place. A few weeks ago, I looked at the clock and it was 3 o'clock in the morning, and I woke up and I couldn't go back to sleep no matter how hard I tried. It seemed discouragement and despondency were having their way, and despair was at the bottom of the bed waiting to get its turn in. And it was then the word "now" broke into my thought process. The word "now" that came to mind was from God's wonderful word here in 1 Timothy 1 verse 17 that says, "Now, to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." As I sat there, I wondered, why did Paul say "now"? Why would you start off with the word "now"? So I got out of bed and I went to the living room and I got my Bible and I curled up on the couch, and it was quiet in the morning. All the kids were in bed. It was a safe time. And I began to look at the word "now" and think, why? And as I looked at the verses surrounding it, I saw something of the Apostle Paul's gratitude and appreciation in the midst of his own times of pressure, being confined and imprisoned, that even the confinement and the difficult circumstances could not hinder the gratitude he had toward the Lord. And what we want to look at this evening is maybe perhaps you are having a difficult time, in a time of despair or despondency. And when you go through those difficult times, you need to remember one thing. It is now time. Now time. This is what we want to look at this evening. John Newton, the author of the famous hymn "Amazing Grace," after he'd been converted, wrote a Bible verse and placed on his mantelpiece above his study. And the verse says, "You shall remember that you were a bondsman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord God redeemed you." Near the end of his life, at the age of 82 years old, before he died, he was preaching and he shouted with a loud voice, "My memory is nearly gone, but I remember two things, that I am a great sinner and that Christ is a great Savior." And we come to this book and we'll see that it's now time. Why would Paul burst forth into praise? In verse 12, we read, "I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus." It is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. C.H. Spurgeon said that the grace that does not change my life will not save my soul. Paul breaks forth into adoration and praise, and we want to look in verse 12. Paul begins with thanksgiving. His thankfulness in the midst of his own circumstances and in spite of his circumstances, thankfulness bubbles to the surface. There's false teaching going on. He tells Timothy, remain in Ephesus and teach certain men not to teach these strange doctrines. He finds himself in prison, yet he bursts forth in thankfulness. And we want to see that Paul was thankful for several things. He was thankful first for privilege. The privilege of God in placing him into the ministry. Verse 12, he said, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, putting me into service." Paul did not leave thanksgiving to anyone else. He would take his own responsibility. And in light of what God had done, he was thankful. When Jesus told the 10 lepers to go show themselves to the priest, one came back and he said, did only one return to give glory to God? And how did he glorify him? He gave thanks. The Greek word for thanks and joy have the same root word. And what is thanksgiving? It is joy overflowing. Irrespective of the circumstances, Paul is thankful. And the first thing he is thankful for is for the privilege that God has bestowed upon him. He said, I thank God who has strengthened me, putting me into service. To strengthen here means to be vigorous. He became strengthened. God enabled him and placed him into service. The word service involves compassionate love toward the needy within the body. And God had set Paul in this place, and the privilege causes him to be thankful. In 2 Corinthians 5, the scripture says that God has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation, by which we beseech men to be reconciled to God, and has given us the word of reconciliation. You are either a mission field tonight, or you are a missionary. And Christ had converted Paul, and Paul, in the midst of the difficult circumstance, he burst forth in thanksgiving. Philippians 1:3, another time he's in prison, he burst forth again, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. In 1 Thessalonians 5, he wrote to the church there, he said, be thankful in everything. In Colossians 4:2, he said, when you pray, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in thanksgiving. In times of anxiety, he wrote to the church of Philippi, he said, be anxious in nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And one of the things that should characterize us, we are a thankful people. Our joy is overflowing in thankfulness to God because he has placed us and he has bestowed upon us the privilege to tell other people about Jesus Christ. Paul is thankful, but look at this. What is he thankful for? Well, he's thankful for the privilege of being placed into service for Christ. Secondly, not only thankful for that, but he's thankful for God's provision for his past. In verse 13, we read, Paul mentions five sins from his past. He said, even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, a violent aggressor, I was ignorant and I was unbelieving. He accurately describes himself as a blasphemer in verse 13. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer, he was an insulter of the church. He flung angry words accusing the Christians of crimes against God. The word blaspheme here means to be abusive, reviling, destroying one's good name. A blasphemer is one who speaks evil of God, a person who slanders him, using his name in a profane way. Not only had Paul been a blasphemer, but in Acts 26:11, when Paul was giving testimony to King Agrippa, he told how he tried to force the Christians to blaspheme. Not only was he a blasphemer, but in verse 13, he was a persecutor of the church of Christ. He was taking every legal means under the Jewish system to annihilate the followers of Christ. In Acts 8, verse 3, we read, Saul began ravaging the church, entering house after house, and dragging men and women. He would put them in prison. In Acts chapter 9, after he had given hearty approval to the stoning of Stephen, it says, now Saul, still breathing threats and murders against the disciples of the Lord. Acts 22, he testified, I persecuted this way to the death, binding and putting both men and women into prison as prisoners to be punished. Acts 26, he says, so then I thought to myself that I had to do many things hostile to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Not only a blasphemer and a persecutor, we see thirdly that he describes himself accurately as a violent man. The word here, violent or injurious, it speaks of someone who takes pleasure in the affliction of the wrong he imparts on others. We could say that Paul was a sadist. Fueled by his hatred for Jesus Christ and the people of Christ, he derived great pleasure in violently persecuting and hurting the people of God. It describes the man who is out to inflict pain for the sheer joy of inflicting it. Now, in this day and age, we would talk to Paul and say, son, you need to see a psychologist because you got poor self-esteem. But Paul didn't have poor self-esteem. He had a right attitude of what he was and who he was previous to Christ. I was a persecutor. I was a blasphemer. I was a violent aggressor. And fourthly, in verse 13, he said, I acted ignorantly. And the word here ignorantly means I did not recognize, I did not know, I was unacquainted with Christ. Fifthly, he accurately described himself as one who lived in unbelief. The word unbelief here speaks of faithlessness, uncertainty, distrust. It is the lack of acknowledgement of Jesus Christ and confidence in Christ's power and confidence in Christ as God. This is what Paul once was in regard to the Christian church. A blasphemer, a persecutor, a sadistic man who derived pleasure out of the pain of others, an ignorant man in the things of Christ, and an unbelieving man. This is his testimony. But Paul does not allow his past sin to drag him down. Instead, he will use it as a springboard into praise. Why? Because it is now time. Now to the King Eternal. And he will burst forth in praise. He looks back and he says, I am thankful to God for the privilege he has given me. He has strengthened me. He has placed me in service. And I thank God for this. And he said, I am thankful for the provision that Christ has made for my past. I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, a violent aggressor, an ignorant man and an unbelieving man. Paul was vividly aware of his own sins, and he could not imagine anyone else to be worse. And even here he said, I am the chief of sinners, not I was, because he could not understand how anyone else could have punished the Lord Jesus Christ church as he could have. You see, often we are like the man who goes up the hill. And there he is, he's beating his breast, and as a religious man goes up the hill, and the religious man's praying, and he said he is so thankful that he is not like this poor sinner. I tithe twice a week. I fast. And he went down the list of his religious works. And the other man just beats his chest and said, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He saw himself for who he was. But often, we are like the judge in England. A Supreme Court judge in England. And the story is told that after he had been converted, he was part of a large and prosperous church. And this church had three mission churches. And every year, they would meet together, all three churches, to celebrate. On one occasion, as they met together for communion, the three churches, the pastor noticed a thief kneeling beside this famous judge. The judge had sent him to jail 7 years earlier. And after his release, the burglar became a Christian and a follower of Christ, and his life testified to a changed life. After the service, the judge and the pastor were walking home together when the judge said, did you notice who was kneeling beside you at the communion rail this morning? The pastor replied, yes, but I didn't know that you noticed. They walked along in silence for a few moments, and then the judge said, what a miracle of grace. The pastor nodded in agreement. Yes, what a marvelous miracle of grace. Then the judge said, but to whom do you refer? The pastor replied, why? To the conversion of that convict. But the pastor had got it wrong. The judge was referring to himself. Because this man had gone into deep sin, and this man had need of a Savior. This man knew it, but he was raised right. He had the best education. He had the finest teaching. He had it all, and in his ignorance and in his belief, thought he was sufficient for eternity without Christ, and he was amazed that Christ could break in and save him, an ignorant and unbelieving man. How often we compare ourselves to others and think, I am not as bad as him. I thank God I'm not as bad as her. But from God's perspective, you are wicked, you are naked, you are poor spiritually, and you are in need of a Savior. Paul was thankful for the privilege of being placed in the King's service. He was thankful even in light of his past sin for the provision of Christ. Now look in verse 14. He is thankful for the provision of God. He said, and the grace of our Lord was more than, not just enough, but more than enough. He was thankful for the abundant grace of God. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant. More than abundant here means here to be superabounding, increasing, more than, greater. He was grateful. And look what he's grateful for, the provision of mercy in verse 13. But I obtained mercy. The word mercy here speaks of the compassion of a God extended to help for the consequences of sin in the life of Paul. The scripture says that God is rich in mercy in Ephesians 2:4. Titus 3:5, it says that the Father is strong in mercy. 1 Peter 1:3, the Father is great in mercy, and salvation is a result of mercy. Titus 3:5, Paul is thankful for the mercy of God. God's provision of mercy and also God's provision of grace. Look at this. And the grace of the Lord was more than abundant, exceeding abundant. When I was a boy growing up in Ireland, across the soccer fields, there was a canal. And the canal went into the largest river in Ireland. And at summertime, we would go down where the canal was, and there was banks, grassy banks, each side of this canal that rose to about 6-7 feet. But when winter come, the mighty river that ran through to Ireland, the Shannon River, the bounds of the river would come higher and higher and higher until it came over the banks and flooded the fields all around. Till you could no longer see the grassy fields underneath, fields covered with water. And so Paul is thankful to God for the provision of mercy, the compassion that God has had upon him, even though he was a blasphemer and a violent aggressor and a persecutor, an ignorant, unbelieving man. But the mercy of God and the grace of God was greater than his sin. In Romans 5:20, it speaks about abounding grace. Where sin abounded, super abounding grace overflowed all the more. In 2 Corinthians 7:4, Paul said, I super overflow in abundance of joy. God's provision for his past, this great mercy he was thankful for, this great grace he was thankful for. His grace superabounded enough to save him, Ephesians 2 says. His grace superabounds to sustain him in 2 Corinthians 12, he says. His grace superabounds to strengthen him, 2 Timothy 2, he says. His grace superabounds to sanctify and change him, Titus 2 says. His grace superabounds to supply him with the ability to serve others. What an amazing Christ this Christ is. The provision of mercy and the provision of grace. This grace saves us from the wrath of God. Romans 5:9, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Jesus Christ? We are saved by God's amazing grace from a life of condemnation. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now, present tense, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The saved are those whom God has rescued and are now to him the aroma of Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:15 says, for we are to God the aroma of a Christ among those who are being saved and those who are not perishing. We are saved through the amazing grace of Christ. We are saved because God chose us to be. 2 Thessalonians says, but we ought always to give thanks to God, brothers beloved by God, because from the beginning God chose you. It is amazing grace. And so he is thankful for what? The privilege of being placed in ministry to tell others about the riches of Christ. He is thankful. He looks at his past sin, but he uses it not to allow him to be ankles around his waist to pull him down, but to be a springboard to remind him of the provision of God, who's made provision of mercy, provision of grace. He has made provision of faith. Look at verse 14. The effects of this grace produces faith. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. The provision of faith to be saved. The provision of faith to continue, and the love that is bestowed upon him, he's thankful for this provision. And then he's thankful for the patience of God demonstrated to him through Jesus Christ. Perfect patience, he calls it. Paul points out here that if Jesus Christ could save him and make him a model or a pattern, there was hope for others. Paul is a thankful individual. Paul is a grateful individual. Paul is thankful for the privilege. Are you thankful for the privilege that God has placed you into his service? Irrespective of what your location or your vocation is, you have been placed in that service to make him known. God has imparted unto you the ministry of reconciliation, and he inwardly strengthens you, having placed you there with the privilege to make him known. You look at your past sins, and at times you are afraid for other people to know about them. What would they think? Don't allow your past sins to put you in the headlock of fear. Those past sins should not bring despair and despondency. Those past sins should be a springboard into praise as you look at the provision of the mercy of God, the grace of God, the faith of God that he's imparted to you, the love of God toward you, and the perfect patience of Christ. While you were yet a rebel, he died for you. So what time is it in your life? It's time to be thankful. It's time to be thankful for the privilege you have. It's time to look at your past sins and no longer let them weigh you down, but let them be nothing else but a reminder that you too are a great sinner, but you have a great Savior. It is time to look at the provision of mercy and grace, to meditate on the faith and the love and the patience of God towards you. What time is it? Verse 17, it's now time. Now Paul bursts forth in prison. He bursts forth now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be glory and honor. Paul, you're in prison, difficult circumstances. Paul, you're confined. I may be confined, but I am not constrained by anything else but now to praise the King. It is now time to praise Him. What time is it in your life? It's now time. It's now time to praise the King. For what? The privilege that you have been converted and given the privilege to make Him known. He has placed you into ministry. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You are an ambassador for Jesus Christ in the place you have placed. He has placed you. It said of David, David, having served the purpose of God in his generation, fell asleep. God wants you to serve His purposes now. The scripture said that God has called us to co-labor with Him. He has brought you in like a father who may be a master mechanic. He brings his little boy in and he gives him a few tools, and the boy taps on the vehicle and gets a little oil on his face. And at the end of the day, he thinks he's done a marvelous thing. But no, he's just handed his dad a tool here and there. He hasn't taken the engine out. He hasn't replaced the carburetor. He hasn't done a whole new engine job. The Father has, but He lets the Son come alongside. And God lets us come alongside. He said, I'm going to give you the privilege to share my Son with others. I'm going to give you the privilege to be faithful. I'm going to place you in this ministry of reconciliation, by where you have the privilege to reach out to others and beseech them to be reconciled with God. I'm going to even give you my word, so my word, which is powerful, will be able to reconcile them. And you say, but Lord, what about my past? I'm ashamed of it. If anyone knows, that's merely pride. You look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. The church was made up of homosexuals. Who's sitting next to you? A homosexual. Who's on the other side? An idolater. Who's on the other side? An adulterer. You say, what kind of a congregation is that? This is what he says in 1 Corinthians 6. Such were some of you, but you've been washed. You've been sanctified. That title no longer describes who you are. You are cleansed, accepted, bought, delivered from the wrath to come, eternally secure, forgiven, and graced. You are in the now time, and now is the time to praise the Lord. Who does he praise? He says, now to the King eternal. Paul springs into doxology, praise to God for his grace, mercies, his perfect patience. What time is it? It's now time. The following morning, when I finally got to bed a little bit, Cindy was out in the hallway. And I was lying on the bed and I was meditating on this passage and the privilege that God has given me, strengthened me and placed me into service for His Son, and the provision of His Son's blood for my past, the provision of His mercy and His grace and His faith and love and patience toward me. And finally, I shouted out to Cindy, I said, what time is it? And she was busy getting the kids going in the hallway and doing who knows what. And she shouts back, it's 7 o'clock. I said, oh no, girl, it's now time. It's now time to praise the Lord. And so what happens wherever you are, whatever the situation, what time is it? It's now time. Now time to praise the King. He doesn't say a King. He says the King. He is sovereign. He rules. He addresses Him as God, the sovereign one. He uses four divine things, or four epithets to speak of Him. He said He's the King eternal. In Revelation 15:13, He is literally the King of ages. Psalm 10:16 says, the Lord is King forever and ever. Revelation 15:3 said, Thou King of the nations. Revelation 19:16 says, King of kings and Lord of lords. The psalmist says, who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, He is the King of glory. Deuteronomy 33:27 says, the eternal God is a dwelling place. Jeremiah 5:22 speaks of His eternal decrees. Romans 1:20 speaks of His eternal power. John 17:3, He imparts eternal life. 2 Timothy 1:10, He gives eternal glory. Hebrews 5:9 says, to Him the hope of eternal salvation. Jude 1:7 speaks of an eternal kingdom, and Isaiah 43:13 says, even from eternity I am he. Now to the King eternal. Literally means the King of the ages. He was there in the dateless, timeless past before the rustles of a wind. He was there when the stars were first placed in its orbit. He was there when the Garden of Eden was created. He was there when Adam and Eve fell. He was there when you were born, and he is here now and in Christ Jesus. It is now time to praise the King. It says that he is the immortal, he is the King eternal. He is the immortal King. The word used here speaks of uncorrupted or not liable to corruption or decay. You and I change. There's a beautiful hymn that says we blossom and flourish like leaves on the tree and wither and perish, but naught changes thee. Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. He is the King eternal. He is the King immortal. It says he is the King invisible. No one has seen him. 1 Timothy 6:16, he dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen nor can see. Out of the wellsprings of Paul spontaneous issues the exclamation of now time. It's time to praise the Lord. But Paul, look around the circumstances. You're leaving me here in Ephesus, Timothy could have said. We've got men teaching false doctrine. You're in prison. The movement's going to break down. Oh, it doesn't depend upon me. This is not a movement. This is a work of God. It is now time to praise the Lord, Timothy. And so here he is, he turns to the young guy, and in the midst of his own difficult circumstance, he says, look, be thankful to God for the privilege, I am. Be thankful to God for the provision of sin, I am. Be thankful to God and break forth and praise him, for now is the time to praise the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God. And when he speaks of the King as the only God, he speaks of the uniqueness of his being. And what is the response to this King? It says to him, be honor and glory. The word honor here relates to the value we place on things. The inestimable worth of the Lord Jesus no one can know. Even as Christians, we barely know. In 1 Peter 2:7, it says, unto you who believe, he is precious. He is of extreme value. How do we show him value? We praise him. And we thank him. There are so many things that we grow so accustomed to in the Christian life. We are looking for deeper things. And God wants us to grow in our gratitude. God wants us to grow in our grace. And we seem to think that these are elementary things that we really do not need to be participating in. We're looking for deeper things. It's not deeper things. It's Christ himself. And in the difficult circumstances, he wants us to be thankful. And he wants us to think, it's now time. Think, it's now time to thank him. Thank him for the privilege he's given you. Thank him as you look at your past sin and let them be a springboard into praise for his provision. It's now time to praise the Lord and to honor him and to glorify him. He says, to him be the honor, to him be the glory. Amen. The doxology closes with the emphatic amen, mean let it be said. John Wesley's epithet, he wrote it himself, and it says this, John Newton's epithet, it says, John Newton, clerk, once an infidel and a libertine, a servant of slaves in Africa, was by the mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, preserved, restored, pardoned, and appointed to preach the faith he had so long labored to destroy. John Newton, even as he was losing his mind, never forgot. He was a great sinner, but he had a great Savior. Paul never forgot the grace and the mercy of God toward him. And even in the times where you would look and say, it's got to be discouraging, oh no. In those times, it was time to be thankful for the privilege and for the provision and for the praise that God had given him that he could say back to God. What time is it in your life? You in a tight place? You like me, waking up in the middle of the night, discouragement and despondency just there in despair at the foot of the bed waiting to kick in your head. And all of a sudden, the word of God breaks in, now. Now. What does that word mean? Well, let's go and have a look at the word. And we go to the word of God and we see Paul in a difficult place. And Paul is thankful for the privilege of being placed in the ministry. When is the last time you've thanked God that he has placed you in his service? You are a soldier of the king. When is the last time you have thought about your sin specifically? Not allowing it to pull you down, but a springboard to be grateful and praise him for the provision of his mercy towards you, his grace, the faith he has imparted to you, the love he has shown you, and the patience he has had continually towards you. Paul said, in light of all this, it is now time to praise the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. To him be glory forever and ever. Psalm 92 verse 1 said, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to his name. Thanksgiving should characterize our lives for what God has done. Does it? Does thanksgiving characterize your life? Do you think on the privilege of all the millions upon this earth, God set his love upon you and placed you into his family and gave you the privilege to be his servant, to make known his name? Jesus delivered a demoniac and clothed him in a right mind. And the demoniac wanted to go with Jesus, and Jesus said, no, you go home and tell them what great things the Lord has done. And the Bible says he went home and told them what great things Jesus had done, because he knew Jesus Christ was Lord, who delivered him from a satanic bondage and set him free. And he went home and told. Who is the last one that you have told about Jesus? Who is the last one who has heard about how Jesus saved you from sin? When is the last time you have discharged your privilege, placed into service to make him known? When is the last time you've looked at your sin not as condemnation, but when the evil one would come with condemnation, you use it as a springboard into celebration for the mercy of God toward you, the compassion, the grace, the favor he has bestowed upon you, the faith he has given not only to save you, but that you will continue living for his glory, the love he has bestowed upon you and in you and through you and surrounded you with, and the patience he has shown continually toward you? When is the last time it's been now time in your life to praise the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God? To him be the glory. Amen. Let it be said in our lives. What time is it? It's now time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that before the foundation of the world, we thank you that you sat supreme, exalted, upon a throne, in need of nothing or no one, perfectly content and satisfied within yourself. And we thank you, Father, that before the foundation of the world, in your mercy and grace, you set your love upon us. And at an appointed time, like Saul, you confronted us, you convicted us, and you have converted us, and you have bestowed upon us the privilege to be in your service, co-laborers with Christ, entrusted with the gospel of Christ, given the Spirit of Christ, placed into the family of God by the living Christ. We thank you for this privilege. Father, we thank you that when the evil one would come and haunt us with our past sins, Lord, we can specifically agree we have sinned greatly. We can agree with the accuser. But then, Lord, we can turn to the person of the Lord Jesus, and we can praise him who has bestowed grace upon us, mercy, faith, and love, and perfect patience toward us. And we can say in our own hearts, Lord, not Paul, but I am the chief of sinners. Lord, I, having so much light, I, having so much grace and mercy and faith and love and the patience of God bestowed upon me, I, Lord, have sinned so greatly against light. Lord, it is I who am the chief of sinners. But, Lord, I thank you for your provision through your Son. And, Lord, I thank you that any time is always now time. It's now time to praise the King. You are eternal. You are immortal. You who are invisible. You who are unique, the only wise God. It is now time for me to be thankful. It is now time for me to discharge the privilege you've given me. It is now time for me to be thankful for the provision bestowed upon me. It is now time for me to be thankful and praise you. It is now time to thank you and honor you and glorify you by being thankful and praising you. Lord, forgive our ingratitude. Lord, forgive our thanklessness. Lord, forgive us for not being a people who praise you. We thank you in the midst of difficult times. We can learn from Paul. It's now time. Now time to praise the King in light of the privilege and the provision and the person of Christ that you have granted unto us. Lord, let us shake off the apathy and indifference that so often clouds our hearts and our judgment. And let us speak to our souls when those times of discouragement and despair would come, to shake off the shackles of despondency, to shake off that which would discourage us, and speak to our souls and say, now is the time to praise my King. Now is the time to discharge my privilege. Now is the time to be thankful for the provision of God in Christ Jesus. Now is the time. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's take our hymn books and stand together as we sing hymn number 103.